himself of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them in the sight of the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, to the subverting of them that hear. Give diligence to present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, cutting straight the word of truth. But shun profane babblings, for they will proceed further in ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a gangrene, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Howbeit, the firm foundation of God standeth, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of the Lord depart from unrighteousness. In 1 Timothy, as well as 2 Timothy, also in Peter's epistle, there is a constant emphasis about bringing to the remembrance of God's children certain truths. If you bring something to remembrance, it's something that you've known in the past. When the Spirit of God brought to their remembrance the things that Christ said to them, they were not new revelations, but there was a reminder of those things that Christ had said when he was with them on earth. It said he would guide them into all truth. Now, that is taking the things that he had spoken, developing them, and he shall tell you things to come. That is not bringing to remembrance. That is an additional revelation. But bringing to remembrance is a reminding of things that they knew hitherto. And when it says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them in the sight of the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit. What you have to do when you come to a portion like this, that we are not to strive about words, you must look at other portions that also comment about words and see how they modify what seems to be a plain statement that we are not to talk about words. As for any distinguishing meaning between this word and another, don't strive about it. Don't discuss it. And the word literally is don't fight, don't war about words. But if you look at certain scriptures, you'll see that it cannot mean that. I think what it means is this. Look farther along in chapter 2 at verse 24. Notice it says, not to strive about words to no profit. Verse 24, and the Lord's servant must not strive, but be gentle towards all, apt to teach, forbearing. It does not teach, then, that we are not to insist that the word means thus and so, but there is to be no strife. And from an examination of all these references about words and what is to be done with these words, it comes to this, and it's quite humorous. If you contend that a word means this, and therefore the teaching is this, and I know that what you say is wrong, and the doctrine you are setting forth is wrong, I'm not to strive about it. I'm not even to accept it at all. I say, this is the truth of God. You say, that sounds rather presumptuous. No. Now, turn to 1 Timothy. Let me show you this. In 1 Timothy, look at verse 3 of chapter 1. As I exhorted thee to tarry at Ephesus, when I was going into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge certain men not to teach a different doctrine, neither to give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questionings rather than a dispensation of God, which is in faith, so do I now. Notice, he says, command them that they are not to teach a different doctrine. And so for that reason, a man is to be grounded in the truth of God, and let me insist that you have examined the Word of God as a whole before you insist that it teaches such and such a doctrine. But if you know it does, if the Bible says that Jesus is raised from the dead, seated at God's right hand, and the Jehovah's Witness comes and says, Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Why, his body decomposed into gases. You don't contend with him about that. You simply read him the plain teaching of the Word of God, and you have no strife, no contention at all. And when the Scripture says, look in chapter 6, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at verse 4 and 3 for connection. If any man teacheth a different doctrine and consenteth not to sound words, you see, we are told not to strive about words, but it says, if any man teacheth a different doctrine and consenteth not to sound words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is puffed up, knowing nothing, but is sick about questionings and disputes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, wranglings of men, corrupted in mind and bereft of the truth, supposing that godliness is a way of gain. Notice, here is a man, and he's teaching a different doctrine. He's not consenting to sound words, the words of our Lord Jesus. Look at verse 4. He's puffed up knowing nothing but doting about questionings and disputes of words. But there is no disputing. Why? Because what he's disputing about, words that will teach a different doctrine. Notice, consenteth not to sound words. So what it teaches is this. You do not strive about words, but you insist on sound words, on the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the doctrine that is according to godliness. And for that reason, if one comes and he wants to debate and strive about certain words, now, if he wants to strive about words that are similar and will teach the same thing, that's one thing. But if he wants to strive about words teaching a different doctrine, the Bible describes him this way. It says, he is sick. He knows nothing, and he's trying to teach a different doctrine. This is what Paul tells Timothy. It says, when I sent you into Ephesus, when I was going to Macedonia, that you might charge certain men not to teach a different doctrine. So that's what must be done. And there are times when God's people start teaching different doctrines, and you don't strive with them about it. If the Word of God is plain in its teaching, then you say without fear of contradiction and without argument, no, this is the truth of God. You say that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God from heaven. He came to earth, he lived, he died, he rose again bodily from the dead, and he's going to come back again. And if people want to contend and strive about words to no profit, you set that aside. You do not accept it at all. But please notice, it's not that you are just silent and let them teach anything they please. You charge them not to teach certain doctrines. There are certain things that sound words, and therefore, you don't strive as to whether these words are sound. These are the sound words. You preach these sound words. So remember, it doesn't say that you cease contending for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. It's simply that there are not contentions, as if it might possibly be so that Jesus did not rise from the dead, that all Scripture is not given by inspiration of God. You don't strive about things like that. The matter is settled. And that is what he's talking about. The Lord's servant must not strive, but be gentle. Now, turn back to 2 Timothy again. One other thing. Look at verse 13. If we are faithless, he abideth faithful, for he cannot deny himself. I told you the way I took it. Of course, God's going to be faithful if he says there is a heaven. There is. If there is a hell, there is a hell. And if you believe not that Jesus is the Christ, if you believe not that he is who he said he was, you shall die in your sin. Yes, God is faithful in that way, but I take it in this sense. I told you, and it's worth repeating. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. You see? If we are confessing our sins, what are we confessing? You say unfaithfulness. Well, if we are unfaithful, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You understand? So that's the way I take it. I can't go into any more than that. But one other thing, notice, he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Let me show you the other example right now. Let me jump ahead. Look at verse 18. It says, men who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. All right. Here are some who are faithless. They are heretics. They're preaching what is wrong. But notice, it says, howbeit, the firm foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. You see? Here are unfaithful men, but God standeth faithful. And let this be an encouragement to you. If every liberal and every modernist and every Unitarian and every Jehovah's Witness denies all the sound doctrines of Scripture, it does not mean that God is going to be altered in what the Word of God teaches. It means absolutely nothing of that sort. It says God is going to be faithful. The firm foundation of God standeth. And no matter how many of the foundational truths are attacked and denied, it does not in the least alter the truth of the foundational truth of God. The firm foundation of God standeth sure. So keep this in mind. Here are those who fail God miserably, yet God is faithful. And here are those who preach heretical doctrines, yet God is faithful. And as it says in Romans 3, shall their wealth of faith make of none effect the faithfulness of God? God forbid. And so if God depended on you and me to be 100% faithful, or else he wouldn't be faithful, we would be in a miserable condition. But God is faithful. And the Bible says that he not only saves our soul, but he restores our soul. So I take it that way. Now, let's proceed quickly. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them in the sight of God. Strive not to words of no profit. So you don't strive. The Lord's servant must not strive, but he must be gentle, apt to teach. You see? That's what it means. No strife of that sort. All right. Now, verse 15. Give diligence to present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright. But it literally says, I told you last week, cutting straight the word of truth. What does it mean? If you cut something straight, then you do not deviate. Suppose I'm supposed to cut a straight line, but then I cut some to the right, and then I cut some to the left, I deviated. All right. If I'm to cut the word of truth straight, then I do not alter the doctrine to the right nor to the left. I have no respect of the rich. I do not give special consideration to the poor. And in teaching the word of God, I cut the word of truth straight. It's like this. It can be, if it's a farmer, he would cut a straight furrow in his field. If it is an engineer, he would cut a straight line down the highway. And this is what it says. Comfort ye, my people. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So this is what it means. And I assure you that when John the Baptist came, he cut the word of God straight. And when the dignitaries from Jerusalem came out, he said, you offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He deviated neither to the right nor to the left, but he cut straight the word of truth. And it may include the whole word of God, but probably it includes especially these New Testament truths, as you'll find in Ephesians and Colossians, as it says this, since the day that you knew the word of God in truth. Perhaps that's what it's talking about. I just wanted to mention that in passing. All right. Verse 16. Shun profane babblings, for they will proceed further in ungodliness. Here is a striving about words. We are not to strive. What about vain babblings? We are to shun vain babblings. Why? Because you do not tolerate them. You do not associate with them. You do not keep company with them. Why? It says, they will proceed further in ungodliness. And what happens is this. Once these vain babblings get into a man's system, they're like a cancer or they're like a gangrene. And the gangrene eats and spreads until it destroys the whole person, like a cancer if it's not attended to. It spreads and it destroys the whole person. And so here's what has happened. Let me show you. Here's the example. These vain babblings, these words of the heretics are these. Look at verse 18. Men who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past. Already. Now, think for a moment. Here are vain babblings. Here are words that are not sound words. They are sick words. And these words got into the system of some who were listening. And it says they were like gangrene. And what did these vain babblings do? It said it overthrew the faith of some. And that is why you are not to allow vain babblings, erroneous teaching, sick words, because when it says sound words, it's really helpful words. And so there are helpful words that do good to your system, and there are sick words that are like cancer, that are like gangrene, that will spread in you. So beware in accepting even the least false doctrine, because it's like gangrene, and it does not stop. It's like leaven in meal that spreads until the whole is leavened. And this is what Paul is talking about. Now, let me show you by an example here what is meant by cutting straight the word of truth. Look at verse 15. Give diligence to present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, cutting straight the word of truth. I told you it meant not to deviate from the right or left, but what things are written in heaven, what things are ordained of God, you cut straight. You do not deviate one way or another. But now, look down at verse 16. But shun profane babblings, they will proceed further in ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a gangrene, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who concerning the truth have erred. And the word can mean swayed, missed them off. Timothy, you cut the word straight, but Hymenaeus and Philetus, they erred. They did not cut the word straight. They deviated, and instead of preaching that Christ is the resurrection and the life and the bodily resurrection of the dead, and the resurrection is only going to take place when he descends from heaven with a shout, instead of cutting it straight that way, they erred concerning the truth. Notice, cutting straight the word of truth is what Timothy is to do, but they erred concerning the truth. So you put one side by side, and now we know what the servant is to do. And if I, as Timothy, cut straight the truth and tell you that Christ now is Christ risen from the dead, the first fruits of them that slept, I'm cutting straight the word of God. But if I listen to modernistic teachings and say that Jesus wasn't bodily raised from the dead, or spiritually he lives on in the heart of his people, if I tell you things like that, then I have erred concerning the truth. I have not cut it straight. I have deviated from the truth. And the road, instead of being straight, is crooked, and the furrow, instead of being straight, is crooked. And if that is so, then when I stand before God, I'm a workman, and I'm going to be ashamed when I have to tell God these things. Be not many of you teachers, it says, you shall receive the heavier judgment. All right. Here is something that is alarming. I've told you this doctrine of the denial of the resurrection, and it's taught by Hymenaeus and Philetus. It's worth looking at. Turn back to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, chapter 1. And let's see what happens. Not only to the ones who have imbibed vain babblings and now have a cancer, a gangrene in their body, but let's see about the ones that preached these false doctrines. Look at verse 18. 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit unto thee, my child Timothy, according to the prophecies which led the way to thee, that by them thou mayest war the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having thrust from them, made shipwreck concerning the faith, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they might be taught not to blaspheme. Here is that man again. In Timothy, the first book, he is associated with Alexander. In the second book, he is associated with Philemon. And this is what is so frightening, that Paul had excommunicated the man, turned him over to Satan, but still he has influence and people are listening to him. And that is what is so frightening. The same thing happened with Diotrephes. The apostle John was writing, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence, when even an apostle, and now we would have the authoritative word of God, said such a thing, it did not stop the man. And he's continuing to preach these things, and he's allowed to preach these things, and if he's not preaching them in the church, what is so sad is this. When those are excommunicated from the church, why, they'll go to another church that's more liberal, or start their own church, and there will always be people that follow such men. Even though Paul has excommunicated him, committed him unto the devil for the destruction of the flesh, because he is blaspheming, still, in 2 Timothy, the man is still around preaching doctrines, and some people are listening to him. Now, observe that the ones that preach these doctrines, they made shipwreck concerning the faith, and they were turned over to Satan. And the ones that listen to them have a disease in their body spiritually that, unless it's cured, is going to spread until their whole system is destroyed, and some of them have been destroyed. It says, overthrowing the faith of some. So that is why you must be careful concerning the vain babblings that you listen. You cannot prevent at times words being spoken that you hear, but you can reject them. Let me give you an example. If I told you that there was in the mind of Christ at one time the thought of worshiping Satan, you say, why would you say such a thing? Because Satan said to him, if you will fall down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. There was in the mind of Jesus for a moment the thought of worshiping Satan. It came from the outside, not within. And the Lord Jesus immediately got rid of this blasphemy. He said, get thee hence, Satan, you see. But what happens is this. Some hear blasphemous words like these, and they listen. And when they listen, they're like a disease that gets in you, and it spreads. So, we can not refrain from hearing these things, but we can refrain from accepting them and letting them get in us. Notice, it overthrew the faith of some. All my life, and to this day, I still believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he was God manifest in the flesh. But suppose, suddenly, someone, the mouthpiece of Satan, said, have God said that Jesus is truly his eternal Son? And I said, why, I think so. And he started showing me scriptures and expounding all his wisdom. And I was upset and I said, you mean that Jesus is a creature? Yes, he's a great creature, but he's a creature. I tell you that my faith would be overthrown. I would be worthless in this world. Because God's word doesn't teach it. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he's called Jehovah Tsidkenu. He's called Emmanuel, God with us. And it says that the Lord Jesus Christ, and concerning Melchizedek, it says that Melchizedek in Christ, he is made like unto the Son of God, without father, without mother, without beginning of days, without end of life. The Savior had no beginning, and he will have no ending. And if anyone could ever teach me anything differently, my faith would be overthrown, and I would not be able to go on in the world. And that's what happens when people listen to blasphemous words and vain babblings. It gets into them like a disease, and it spreads, and it overthrows the faith of some. Just like this. Did you know that Jesus has already come? The resurrection is past? No chance for you. You're going to die, and that's the end. You say, why would you say such a thing? Somebody's already said such a thing. He told them that. And some could say, don't you know that your loved ones that have died, they're not going to get in on the millennium. The ones that are going to get in on it are the ones that live until the millennium comes. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that sleep. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, Even so them also that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You see, beware of those that teach vain babblings. If you accept what they teach, it will overthrow your faith. But we are not going to listen to them. We're going to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as our labor is not in vain in the Lord. But notice, Hymenaeus and Philetus, they had a following, and the ones that followed them overthrew their faith. And I'm thinking right now of a brother, two and even more, that I went to school with. And what happened was this. I remember one. He went to a liberal college, and he was no match for all of these professors that were denying the Word of God. And his father told me this, that he had to go to the school and lead him around by the hand because his life was so destroyed. He has not been grounded in the faith. Now, all of this is happening, and it's sad to contemplate. But look at this verse, in verse 19. Even though Hymenaeus and Philetus blaspheme, even though they fill men's souls with cancerous and gangrenous sores, it says it doesn't make any difference. Even if their faith is overthrown, verse 19, howbeit the firm foundation of God standeth, and that is the encouragement, that these friends of mine did have their faith overthrown, that they no longer follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean a thing when it comes to the foundation of God. Look at verse 19. The firm foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. That's the encouragement. And so you find some, and let me tell you a little bit about the foundation. Many foundations are spoken of. The foundation laid by the apostles and prophets. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. And also the church is called the pillar and the ground of truth. So when you speak about these other foundations, you're not setting aside the one incomparable foundation, the Lord Jesus. That's at the bottom of it all. But at the same time, here we are. And on top of us are built other Christians and so forth. Underneath us, of course, upholding us, is the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, in this portion, it says, the firm foundation of God standeth. You look and you see all the Christians that are supposed to be foundational in Ephesus. And yet here is one, and his faith was overthrown, and his faith was overthrown. And you look and you say, well, the foundation is crumbling. No, if you want to know the truth, they were never a part of the true foundation. Because once you are in Christ, you're eternally in Christ. But the sad thing is this. When you have this foundation, there are those at certain places in it that you think were part of the foundation, but they weren't part of the foundation. And for that reason, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Let me tell you this. It says in John 6 that when Christ is preaching, his disciples listened to him and they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? And after the Lord kept teaching them truths concerning his glory and his coming from heaven and going back again, it said, upon this many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Look, they were never part of the foundation. The foundation of God standeth firm. The firm foundation of God standeth, having this seal. It says that the Lord Jesus knew who they were that believed and who they were that believed not. He knew from the beginning who they were that believed and believed not. And the foundation of God is never going to be shaken. Neither Christ nor those that are genuinely resting upon him. It's going to stand sure. And it has a twofold seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Now, if some of you leave and you renounce the Lord Jesus, I would have thought up until now that Christ was your Savior. But then I found out that he wasn't your Savior. You were never a part of this foundation. And so, for that reason, the firm foundation of God standeth sure. It says, the Lord knoweth them that are his. That's the important thing. Do you know who the Lord is? You don't know. All the disciples thought that Judas was a true apostle. Only the Lord knew that he wasn't a true apostle. And the firm foundation of God stands, and it has this seal. What is the first seal? The Lord knoweth them that are his. I'm so glad. Had I heard Peter denying that he knew the Savior, I would say, this man isn't the Lord. But he was the Lord. And Peter said to the Savior, you know all things. You know that I love you. The Lord knoweth them that are his. So thank God for that. There are some we think of the Lord. We think we know who the Lord's servants are, but they're not. But the Lord knoweth those that are his. And the second is this, let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity, from unrighteousness. In the coming days, some of those that profess to be genuine followers of Christ are going to hear this, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Notice, you workers of iniquity. They talked of great Christianity, but the Savior said, you workers of iniquity. What's the second seal? Depart from iniquity. It is a life that is consistent with your confession of faith in Christ. And for that reason, I have great assurance. I know that I'm not the man that I should be, but I'm not the man that I was. And even though I may not know all things, I know that I belong to the Lord. But more important than that, the Lord knows that I am his. And so as long as he knows, that is the thing that counts. What is more important? My knowing the Lord or the Lord knowing me? You say, the Lord knowing you. Because if the Lord knows you, then he knows that you know him. So, remember, the foundation of God standeth firm. Depart from iniquity. The Lord knows you, that you are his. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are so glad that in spite of all the attacks, the ferocious attacks of Satan upon your word and upon your people, we are glad that your firm foundation standeth. Nothing can ever overturn it. Just as your son said, nobody can take us out of your hand. Nobody can destroy your foundation, our God. And we are thankful that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We pray that you'll forgive us our sins. We fail so often. But our God, we are not what we were in the past. Help us to be more like thy son, the Lord Jesus. So let us not listen to vain babblings. Let not our faith be overthrown. And let us not make shipwreck concerning our faith. Help us and protect us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.